somebody in the church. Somebody did something. Just the members of the church. It'll come on the screen in just a minute. But yeah, the members of the church. They hurt you. They did something. They said something. Something happened. See, that... you need to know. And this is my struggle. I'm a very laid-back, easygoing guy, right? You know, I just kind of roll right along. You guys are laughing because you know that's not me. All right? I'm a very strong, go-somewhere, driven person. I'm a type A personality. That's my personality. I'm driven. I can run you over, not even know it. I can be a steamroller. You know, and look back. You know? And not even know it. See, we need to understand, sometimes members do hurt us. It'll be on the screen in a minute. They'll pop it up there in a minute. Yeah? Sometimes members do hurt us. You know, they said something, they did something, someone neglected something, someone happens. Is it intentional or is it unintentional? Is it knowingly or unknowingly? Because see, you need to know something. I will never knowingly hurt you. But I can pretty much understand that there'll be some times that I might run you over and not even know it. Yeah. See, right there. They're echoing it. Yeah. It happens. You know, different personalities, different ways of looking at things. You know? And so we need to be aware of this. How do we respond? What do we do? What do we do when someone hurts us? How do we respond? I've been really blessed in this church. Have we had some bumps in this church? Let's talk about changing the name of the church. Anybody? Some of you guys are laughing. Come on now. You know, we had a fun journey, didn't we? I thought I had everything all laid out. I didn't. Here's your head, Gary. You know? You think you got things all figured out. Everybody's on board. Everybody knows. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, man, I sure miscalculated that. It happens. Anybody got a family? Anybody family like that? You know, you get together with family, you know, and it's like, oh man, your sister so-and-so is going to be there. You know. You need to know, I did a wedding in our old blue church. We had an education building in the old blue church. And so they came by to look at the building. And so I show them the building, and they wanted to have the fellowship in the fellowship hall. Well, our fellowship hall could only seat about 35 people. And so I'm going, well, here, you know, here, there are 70 people, so here's the church, and you can only get about 35 in here. But we have other rooms down here, a bigger room, you can probably get another 20 in here. And I showed her, and here's what her response was. She goes, oh, that's awesome. My mom and dad are divorced, and they don't get along. So some can go to this room, and some can go to this room. Yeah. Is that how church should be? Yeah. Sometimes we get hurt. I shared with you last week. I'm going to probably share it all through the message series. You know, I've been on these sermons. I'm listening to the radio. We were going somewhere, and the guy goes like this. He's going, if you are happy 75% of the time in your marriage, you have a happy marriage. Because if you expect to be happy 100% of the time, you're in trouble. Anybody married? 100% of the time, you're going to be happy, right? You know, 75% of the time. Think about that. You know? So what do we do? How do we deal with it? How do I go? Do I lash out? Do I get even? Do I just bury it? Ignore it? What do I do when I get hurt? How do I go through that? Like I said, in Willits, what did I do? How did I go through that? What happened as I transformed through that process? Just to kind of give you a hint, what I did is I talked to my directors of missions. I had him come down and kind of be a mediator, try to work through some issues. It reached the point where it wasn't solved, and so I resigned from the church. I had a place to start another church in that community. I worked at the funeral home, and the guy at the funeral home says, you want to start a church? You can use the chapel for free. I could have started another church, but that wouldn't have been right. You know, starting a church out of everybody arguing? I ain't going to start a church that way. How do you deal with it? Just tell you what I did. I went to a pastor's retreat up at Hume Lake when they used to do those. I spent 3 days on the side of a mountain crying. A river I added to the lake. I did. I spent 3 days sitting on the side of this mountain, just heartbroken. 7 years, 8 years of my life working towards this vision that God had laid on my heart, and somebody just stomped on it. What do? You come to church and you open your heart and somebody stomps on it. What do? I spent 3 days on the side of this mountain doing over and over and over again. And it's the first thing on your list. Pull your list out. It says this. I pray. I'm going to come back to those verses. I'll have to come back to those verses. I pray. I pray. That's the first thing I did. I prayed. I prayed. I spent 3 days praying and crying. I'm going to come back to that because here's what I want to make sure you know. We're going to have it. Look at what it says here. If it is possible, we're going to read Romans 12. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with your friends. The people you like. The people that agree with you. The people that like you. Is that what it says? Live at peace with everyone. We need to live at peace with everyone. That's our goal. What should I do? Hide? Lash out? Get even? Bury it? Live at peace as much as it depends on you, if at all. I love that verse. Our 40-day study the other day, we spent a lot of time on this one, didn't we? Remember it back in October? Anybody remember our 40-day study? Shake your head, please. I want to make sure it was successful. Yeah. As much as we got to work at it. We got to be not active but proactive. We got to make these relationships work, and we got to strive for them. Look at what it says here, because this is what it's based on. By this, all people know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Anybody ever walk into this church? Oh, you guys had to get into the church that way, right? You come through those doors right there? Do you ever look at that verse that's above that door? That's my heart. They will know we are God's people, that we're following God, when we have love for one another. Now, I love my wife. And next week's Valentine's Day, and we're going to have something. We're going to do something. I love her. Am I always happy? I'm not going to answer that. I would die for my wife, literally. I would die for my wife. I would give my life for her. But am I always happy? As much as it depends on me. But life should be about me. My marriage is about me. My church is about me. See, you need to know, I've sat there and worked, ministered to somebody. They were arguing in a church over the podium that's set here. Listen to me now. The church had a pulpit. And they had vacation Bible school, so they moved the pulpit off during vacation Bible school. And so there was no pulpit. And so the preacher preached. And he just never bothered bringing it back. Well, then one Sunday in the week, somebody had brought and put the pulpit back. So he preached behind the pulpit. Next week, somebody had moved the pulpit off. So he preached without a pulpit. Now the church was arguing over a pulpit. All right? You need to know, churches argue on what side to put the piano on. You know, years ago, churches argued what side to put the piano on. You know, there was once argument about padded pews, because you shouldn't be sitting in church. And they argued about padded pews. Love. Where's the love? See, I feel, here's one of my things for me. This music, we've changed our music in the church, and we've done all sorts. This has been an awesome church, and I give nothing but praise to the seniors and the elders of our church who let this church change. They deserve honor. because they let the church transform. It's different than what they grew up with. This is different than what I experienced. All right? And they deserve the honor. But I think about the price they're willing to pay for that. To let it change. To let it be different. To give away the leadership in the church. To let others and the younger ones step up, and all of a sudden it's not going the way you thought it should go. We're doing VBS different now. Remember, we used to have self-passes. Now we have rotations. I never had a problem with that, but some churches had. Yeah. What do we do? How do we, as much as it depends on you, get along with everyone? And how do you do that? Through love. The key is love. And that first thing I put there, that first step, let's get into this now. Let's talk about prayer. Prayer. You got to pray. You have to pray. If the church has hurt you, if you're hurt in your marriage, see, I'm talking about the church, but if you're married and you get hurt in your marriage and you think I'm done, you're not done. I shared with you, it was astonishing to me to sit there getting my hair cut the last time, and I was talking to the young lady. She's 28 years old. She's not married, and she's afraid to get married because she doesn't want to get a divorce. And she's saying, you know, how do you make it work? I told her, real easy. I just ain't giving up. It's not an option. It's not on the table. Some way, shape, or form, we're going to work through this. I always told it because, you know, just we always kind of joke. Laura and I would joke about it because I never use a D word. But I'd always joke, you know, for a pastor, it's kind of hard to get another church if you're divorced. But murder's a little easier, I would tell her. You know? And we'd joke about that. You know? Because it's not, see, what I'm saying is I need to pray because it's not an option. So what are my options? I'm not going anywhere. You need to know something. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. We're going to have some good days and bad days. I'm going to screw up again. It might not be the name of the church. It'd probably be something else. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but we're going to have fun. And God's going to work. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, pray. And I feel blessed because let me tell you something. When it comes to music, I am so blessed that I can't sing. I'm tone deaf, so I enjoy all the music. You want to rap? Come up here and rap. I don't care. You want to do country and western? Just make sure my wife's not here. Do all the country and western you want. You know, I don't care. I like the hymns. I like the hymns. Play the new tunes. I like the contemporary. I like my favorite. A favorite would be jazz. Saxophone and all that. I like that kind of, you know. But I like it all. But yet some people have a problem. I've been very blessed. When we changed the music, we had some rough spots. But most people, it's like, whoa, it's not my favorite, but it's bringing people to God. Let's do it. I don't know what you need to know. I wanted to make sure you guys understand. I don't know what the future of this church is. I'm going to be here until God tells me it's time to go. And it might be I die, all right? I don't know. But I don't know what changes are going to have to take in the future. And I'm going to support. If I'm not the pastor and it's a new, whatever he needs to do, I think we need to do it. I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't know what the future is going to hold. The church is a lot different than when I got started. I was trained one way in church, and now we're doing something way different than what I went through in the 80s. You guys need to know that. So I don't know what it's going to be in 2050. I'll be 100 years old, but I can't wait to, you know. I'm going to pray. I plan on being here, all right? You need to know I plan on living to be over 100. I got plans, all right? Yeah. But I pray. I pray. Because, see, it's not about me. See, our prayer needs to be, God, what are you doing? If somebody hurts you, you need to say, God, what are you doing? Okay? Because maybe God's doing something in them, and you're going to get in the way if you mouth, hint, hint. I tell you guys, I do not defend myself. I'm not going to get on Facebook and get in these battles. I'm not going to get on text messaging, emailing. I'm not going to do any of that. I don't even have to defend the church. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to fight God, not me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. That's what I'm called to do. I'm going to pray. I'm hurting right now. I've been hurting so much. There's just been so much going on. Death has touched me just so many times. I got another funeral tomorrow, even before Tuesday. We had one Friday. Heartbreaking. I spent most of the morning in this prayer room this morning. I went in and out of that room like three times this morning before I even went in there with our worship team. Because I'm praying. See, if you get hurt by the church, you just need to get on your knees and pray. If you're hurting, you pray. Men is doing something in their lives, and you need to keep your mouth shut so God can do it. See, here's my thing. I really believe this. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm going to tell you what. God can handle things a lot better than I can. And if it needs to get even, because you know my statement, here it is. Listen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. That's Gary, all right? But I really believe, let me tell you, I absolutely, honestly believe if I take the high road and I let God fight my battles, it will always work out. I really believe that. Now, I want to tell you something else. If somebody cheats me, you better be careful. Because I believe God's going to make it right. I don't have to do anything. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to pray for bad things to happen to somebody either. I remember when I bought my first car, we argued over $45. We bought a brand new car, Laura and I. When we were down in college, brand new car, we argued over $45. I was walking out of his office for $45. Did I tell you how stubborn I am? I wouldn't buy the car for $45 more. You know? And so he said, okay. You know, got to go sit in nobody else's office, did all that kind of stuff. But here's what's amazing. Tuck it back. You know how you had to take the car back to get some little things fixed? Tuck the car back to get some little things fixed. Calls me into his office and says, hey, can you pray for me and my marriage? You see what I'm saying? See, God can find. See, God might be doing something. And maybe, just maybe, God might be doing something in you. You know, I hate to tell you this. Now, preachers do hurt sometimes. You ain't all that good either, okay? You know, we all have issues. We all have peccadilloes. How's that? There you go. We all have, you know, we all have these little, your wife used to do with her hair, you know, like, oh, you know, you thought she's so cute, now it aggravates you. Come on, guys. Don't go there right now. But it's kind of like, you know, we have that. We have to pray. You have to pray. If you're hurt by a church, pray. Pray. See what God is going to do. See what God is up to. Is it in them? Is it in you? Is it in you? Here's the great word for prayer. Grace. Give me grace to understand what you're doing. I do not regret my ministry in the church that I pastored. I don't regret that. Super friends, super relationships. I learned things. I experienced things. I wouldn't trade it. But I'm not going to go through it again. At least I hope not. Pray for grace. Ask for God's grace. Ask for God to give you wisdom and knowledge. Ask for God, should I speak? Shouldn't I speak? How should I handle this, God? And you pray. And you pray. Number two. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 6:12. Our fight is not against people on earth, but against rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness, against spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world. Who's our enemy? It's the devil. It's Satan. See, I think sometimes we get confused because we think, they're my enemy. It's them. If it wasn't for them, if they hadn't, if she hadn't, if we hadn't, if it was, we think it's them. Let me tell you, who wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life? Who is that? It's the devil. It's the devil. See, when you're in church and you have that love and you have that relationship and you're enjoying what's going on and you're enjoying what God's doing and then something happens, who do you think did it? Let me tell you something. The snake in the garden wasn't the problem. Listen to me. The snake in the garden wasn't the problem. Who was in the snake? The devil, Satan was in the snake. So here, we got to understand that. Individuals are not the problem. Satan is the problem. I'm going to ask you, does Satan get in some people's hearts? Can he wiggle his way in? Let me ask you this. Might be a little harder to answer. Can Satan wiggle his way into your heart? If you're honest, I hope you say yes. He knows your weaknesses. I'm going to tell you, Satan knows how to tick me off. Put me behind a steering wheel of a car and Satan's got me. I mean, yeah, if you can't drive, get off the road. You know? Satan is real. He wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. John 10:10. But what did Jesus come to do? That verse is awesome. Write that down. John 10:10. That verse is awesome. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I didn't write that on your screen. I want you to make a note of that because you'll remember it more without just reading it. John 10:10. We need to make sure we know who that enemy is. We're not fighting one another. Let's put it this way. Let's go back to that prayer thing. If you read that verse above that I didn't read, it says, pray for your enemies. And here's my rule. I'm going to tell you something. This is my rule, and I'll stand on this. I do not have a single enemy in my life. Now, I might be somebody else's enemy, and I think I am. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't have an enemy. I have chosen, as much as it depends on me, I will not have an enemy. Because the devil's the enemy. See, one of our studies had these three B's. One of our 40-day studies, you guys got to get in the church and get involved in the studies. One of our studies had three B's, and here's these three B's to think about when you think about your enemy. When somebody has ticked you off, when somebody has hurt you, when something has happened, and I'm going to tell you, those feelings are real and they're true, and you should feel hurt. It's what you do with them that matters. Here's these three B's. What's their burden? What's their battle? What's their background? When somebody's hurt me, I want to stack and go, what's battling them in their life? What are they struggling? Maybe at work, maybe financially, maybe a relationship somewhere else, and I'm just getting tired. What's their battle? What's their burden? Yeah. Is something blocking them from that burden they have? They want to do this ministry, or they want to do this, and we're not going that way. What's their burden? You know, what's their background? Now, I want to make sure you understand. When I talk like that, I want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm saying that's an explanation. There's a difference for me. I don't excuse the behavior, but I try to explain the behavior by those three B's. Because then it takes the problem off of them, and it makes me understand who's the real enemy. Who's that real battle? In your home, who's that real battle? If you're fighting with your spouse, she's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. If you guys are fighting and you're struggling, that's your enemy. You know who wants to destroy your marriage? The devil. He wants to destroy it. And he'll use all sorts of things to do it. Same thing in the church. We need to see those. We need to understand that battle. So look at what he says here. Look at what Peter wrote. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan's looking for opportunities. He's looking for that chance. You're vulnerable. Your heart is open. It's really a tough time. It's really a heart-wrenching time. And all of a sudden, boom, something happens. And it's like, why did they do that right now? I don't need that right now. Why did he say that? Why did she? I don't need that right now. Well, you know what? You didn't need that, but that's Satan doing it. Come on. We need to see that. Who's your enemy? Find out that enemy. He's trying to drag you down. He's trying to destroy. He wants that. Don't neglect it. Stay alert. Why don't you circle that? Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out. Somebody's going to say, I bet before you walk out of this building, somebody's going to say something. You're going to go, I didn't like that. Or maybe you're sitting there right now and said, Gary already said something I didn't like. Well, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't Gary. It's the devil. All right? Don't give the devil a foothold. Let me tell you what happens. You'll give the devil a little toehold. You know, it's just a little, you know, it's just a toehold. He'll take it into a foothold. He'll just keep working it, working it, working it, and he'll take it a chokehold, and he'll take you out. Get the picture? You know, he just starts a little bitty thing. It wasn't much. It didn't matter. Just a little toehold. But man, he takes that, and all of a sudden, he's wrapped around your foot. You're just kind of dragging your foot along. What's going on? I don't know. But he's just working his way up until he gets a chokehold on you. And he'll take you out. They hurt me. The church. That church. Someone hurt me. Listen again, it's God's word. Because this is what I think we need to have. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Wouldn't it be nice to have all that in your life? I always cross one of them out. Can you figure out which one I cross out? Patience. You guys are right. That one God just didn't give me. No, that's the one that Satan sees. Satan knows my weakness. I can do pretty good with love and joy and peace. I can handle those pretty well. Because I do. I love people. That's just my personality. But Satan knows my problem is patience. And he takes it. And he uses it. Know your enemy. Here's the next one, real quick. I got to get going. Keep short accounts. Yeah, keep short accounts. Real quick now. Keep short accounts. Listen to what it says. Love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. Now underline this. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. Keep short records. Don't keep records. You might want to rephrase. Don't keep a record. Remember Peter was trying to be a really spiritual guy? You know, Jesus, man, how many times should I forgive somebody? You know, I'm your follower. I'm Peter, Jesus. How many times should I forgive somebody? And Peter and Jesus, what do you think? Seven, man, seven. That sounds good. That's a good number. And Jesus goes, seven times 70. That's kind of, you know. So here's the deal. Get you a book. Go to Office Max, buy you a book, put their name in it, and then start making Roman numerals. And when that person has 490, you're done with them, okay? Is that what Jesus was saying? That wasn't what he was saying, was it? He was saying, forget it. Forgive them. Let it go. Don't keep records of wrongs. See, we like hanging notes, don't we? Remember when so-and-so? Remember what your sister said? Come on now, wife. You know? Or you tell your husband. Remember when your brother did? Don't we like hanging on to those kind of things in church? Remember in 1950 the church did this to me. I've heard those. You know? When I came to Salida and I started knocking on doors, I can tell you some of the people in town. Martha's smiling because she knows what I'm talking about. They've been here for years. You know? Well, when this pastor was there, rah, 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 and they still know it. I got a good word for you. Let it go. And no, I'm not playing the song. I had enough of that song. All right? I am full of Frozen, all right? Let it go. All right? We've got to learn. Let me give you the key. The word is called forgive. We have to forgive. We have to let it go. And we need to let things pass and leave the past in the past and not keep bringing it up. You ever have those fights? Anybody married, okay? You ever have this kind of fight? You're sitting there, you're arguing about something today, but they bring something up that 10 years ago? Anybody ever had those arguments with your spouse? Don't do that. Yeah. Now, this is kind of gross, but I grew up at a time when we had phrases like this. It went like this, let dead dogs lie. Kind of gross, but I remember saying that. You know? We got to let the past be the past, and we hang on to that. And we can't. Look at what it says here in God's word. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let me ask you this. Here's a key question. You got you. This is theology now. Theology 101. When did God forgive you? Well, think for a minute. Don't answer. When did God forgive you? When you asked? No. Let me tell you when God forgave you. When Jesus died on the cross. When that blood flowed from his side, flowed off his hand, flowed down his... See, God forgave us our sins when Jesus died. He paid the price for our sins. Why do we ask somebody, I'll forgive them when they apologize, right? I'll be the big person and forgive them when they come to me. Isn't that what we do? When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for all sins, every sin. And then when we accept him, we accept that forgiveness. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. All we're doing, I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm saying. All we do is claim it. That's what we do. That's what salvation is. Salvation is claiming God's forgiveness. God, you died for me. You paid that price. Now, when we apologize, well, when they come to me, what is that? Is that like Christ did? Here's what I'm saying. You forgive them, and then, after you have prayed, that's why praying goes first. After you prayed, only then do you go and talk to them. You don't go talk so you can say, I'll forgive you. You've already forgave them before you get there. Anybody? That's how we deal with this as a church. We forgive. I've been in a lot of positions in the community, on a school board, on the sanitation board, and a pastor of this church, and all sorts of things I've served on in our community. And people have said things and done things. I've sat there and had people yell and scream at me, walk around holding a sign that says stinks in here, and they were talking about me. You know what I'm doing for that guy that was holding the sign? I was praying for him because he lost his job 6 months later. I wasn't mad at him. I hurt for him and his family. I never told him, oh, you hurt me. You got to apologize. Some guy that yelled at me. It's like, you know me. You know better than to say that. You know that's not me. That, yeah. And I wanted to say that. Never said a word. I see him at taco the other day. Talked like nothing was wrong. I did too. Okay. Listen, you forgive. You forgive. Our 40-day study had this verse, and it's so poignant. Look at what it says. And when you stand praying, see, praying, get it? Praying. If you're holding anything against anyone, forgive them. Now, when do you forgive them? When you are praying. When you're praying, you forgive them. Not when you go talk to them. Not when you set everything straight. Not when they know how they hurt you. Anybody? Anybody say anything like that? I've heard it, so don't sit there like it's not been said. You forgive them. You let it go so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, here's the funny thing. Let me tell you. The guy that I account for me leaving my first church. I get an email. Are you the pastor that pastors such and such a church? Are you the Gary Dew that pastored such and such a church? Yes, I am. Well, so-and-so is my dad, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can I have your phone number? Now, should I send my phone number to the guy who was the main reason causing me heartache, tapped my heart, and causing me problems in my first church? Should I send his daughter my phone number? I did. And guess who called? He did. You know what? He acted like nothing was wrong on the phone. Like nothing ever happened back then. 20 some odd years ago, it was no big deal. It was a big deal to me. You're 27 with all these dreams. Your heart is flat on the ground, tap danced on. You know what? I talked to him like there was nothing wrong. My heart ached for him. Some of the situations his family was in and dealing with his father-in-law passing away and all this stuff going on. I hold nothing against them. I would even go by and say hi. I want to go up there to that church and visit people. Most of them are gone by now. It's been 30-some-odd years. What do you do? I'm going to tell you, forgive them. Boy. Just so you know, Stephen's giving me my time stuff, so I am going long. Let's get out of this. Forgive. 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 Can I say any more than that? Forgive. Let's go on to this. Acknowledge pride. Now, I know none of you are prideful. I'll be honest. I'm prideful. All right? Prideful. I like who I am. You don't have to toot my horn. I'll praise myself all the time. You guys know my name. My name is Gary the Great. See? You know who I am. You know? But pride can get in the way. Look at what God says. The proud Pharisee prayed this prayer. Ooh. Now listen, two guys go off to church. Get the picture? Two guys go off to church. It's called a synagogue there. They're in church. And here's this one guy standing and praying. Thank God I'm not a sinner like everyone else. Especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat. I don't commit adultery. I go without food twice a week. And I give to God a tenth of everything I earn. I'm a good religious person. I'm spiritual, and they're not. I'm going to be the righteous one. And they... So I'm going to take the high road, and I'm going to straighten them out. Anybody? You know, I see this. You know, pride is a killer. Pride will bring you down in a church. All right? I'm going to tell you, this church is not about me. You go around this church, you will not see my name. It's not on the sign. It's nowhere. You go into the office, you're not going to see all my hanging all over that office. Do I have a doctorate degree? Yes. The only thing it's on is a credit card that Laura wanted on it, so when she calls to make reservations, she can say, Dr. Do, and maybe get better preferential treatment. You know? Only one of my credit cards. I don't care. They mean nothing. You want me to tell you what means the most to me? You guys. Martha and Rose. Stephen, Evie, Dan, and I can just go down the list. You guys. This is my joy. This is what makes me happy. Being a part of your lives, being there through the good times. And through the heartaches, walking and sharing and just being life, doing life together. See, there's no room for pride in that. There's no room to look at me, look at my accomplishments. Look, there's no room. You know, I've been pastor here, and I'm still trying to figure things out. I don't have all the answers. We're going to have this funeral this Tuesday, and it's going to be a big funeral in here, 5 o'clock, just be prepared. And we're walking around, and I'm talking to people who are going to be having some responsibilities, and it's like, well, what about this, and what about, I didn't have all the good ideas. You know what, some of them had good ideas. I was astonished that Evie had a good idea. It just floored, you know, just so out of character. Yes. Yeah. But we're talking, where are we going to put the food, and how are we going to do this, and let's take the doors off this hallway. And I don't know everything. It's like, well, that's a good idea. I didn't think of it. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have all the ideas. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. Yeah. I'm just here because I love this place and I love this church. And when I say this church, I'm talking about you guys. It's fun. It's fun watching these kids grow up. And become part of the church. Watching them take care of the nursery. And watch their kids that were their age when they came. And the children's department and vacation Bible school. And moving chairs and coming down when I need somebody. I need somebody to run the board. Can you come down when you're out and run the board while we do something else? Like I say, it was fun traveling my daughter and her talking about crawling under the pews. Kind of hard to crawl now. There's all sorts of legs under there with these chairs, but she used to crawl under the pews and lay under the pew. You know, she's 30 now, but she still remembers that. See, that's what church is. That's what church is all about. See, there's no room for pride, no room for look at the scripture here. How can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You get it? See, look at me. I've got life all under control. I've got it all figured out. I don't have life all figured out. You need to know right now, I am going crazy. Laura and I are talking, we're just kind of zombies right now. And no, I'm not going to go out and eat brain and all that, but yet we're not zombies. That we just kind of, anybody feel like that? You're just kind of just going through the motions? I kind of feel like that right now. It's life. That's my family. But look at me, I'm perfect. I'm your pastor, and I'm not perfect. Matter of fact, I want to put a sign out there on the church that says, no perfect people allowed. Yeah. Just in case you know, you belong here, because you're not perfect either. Yeah. I hope I didn't pop your bubble. Yeah. We're on this journey. That's what it's about. We're walking together. There's going to be joys, and there's going to be rejoicing, and there's going to be great times. Like I said, I can remember going and seeing babies born when they were born. Going into those rooms and seeing mom hold the baby and say, some of you were some of those kids that I seen. And now to see them standing here and leading in prayer, and it's exciting. See, it's church. Look at what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for helping, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. None unwholesome talk. See, there's, well, you did. Well, you said. I don't get it. See, there's no room for all that pride. And we're this together. We're here with one another. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to tell you, I mean this with all my heart. You need three things in your life if you're going to live. And you're going to have a good life. You're going to enjoy life. You need three things. You need a local church to walk with you. You need a church. It might be a church that can hurt you sometimes, but you need a local church. A people that you're journeying with. But then you need a small group. Those 8, 10, 12 people that you're walking with, that really know, that you shared your heart. Some of you, I know what your needs are. Some of you, I don't know. Fortunately, that blue card, now it's a green card that you guys fill out. I pray for you for that specific need. You need to know. I don't just pray, I'd be with, I pray, God, so-and-so has this. Bless them. Move there. A home needs to be bought. A home needs to be sold. A car. A family member needs Jesus Christ. So you need that in that small group where you know what to pray for, that specific need. And somebody to walk with you, to be with you. And then you need somebody who can say the hard things. Somebody can look in the eye and say, you know what, you're being a jerk. Now, just in case you're married, be your wife. Because if my wife tells me I'm a jerk, it's not going to go well. All right? Yeah, that doesn't go too well. All right? But some of you, notice I said some of you, can tell me I'm a jerk. And I'm going to stop and think, well, what did I do wrong? See? You know what I'm saying? You, nobody has total permission to do that, but you have friends in your life. Ron Perry, Dan Maselli, some of those guys, and many of you could tell Gary, you're really being an idiot right now. Yeah. Some of you others are going to hurt my feelings, and I'm going to have to go pray, God forgive me, because I want to kill them. I'm joking. But you see what I'm saying? We need those three things you ask. What do you need today? If you're wrestling with a hurt in church, I pray it's not this church. If it is, I'm sorry. I really am. If somebody said something, somebody didn't, and if it was me, I am 100%, I am absolutely sorry. My heart is that I help you grow and know Jesus Christ and live closer to him every day. That's my prayer. And if I've done anything, let me know. I will gladly say I'm sorry. And you need to know, I have gone and knocked on and went into somebody's house and apologized more than once. And just said, I said something. Had nothing to do with church. and I went, and I'll do it. My goal is not about me. I want to see more people in heaven. I want to rejoice in heaven. I want to have a party in heaven. That's what I want to see. And that's my heart. So wherever you're at, I don't know where you're at. I pray you have a church family. I pray you have a small group. And I pray you have somebody who can walk with you. Because life is hard. It's not always nice. And that statement says, can't we all just get along? It ain't never going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But you know what? I can get along with some and walk with them. And others, I can put up with. What about you? Church? Do you have a church? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you knew our needs when you formed us. God, you created us. You created every life here. And you knew our need was to have relationship. For you said in the beginning it was not good for man to be alone. And you're not talking just about man. You're talking about mankind. That we need one another. We need relationships. And in relationships, Lord, our hearts are vulnerable. We open them up. Sometimes they get hurt. Lord, give us strength and give us wisdom. Give us understanding. That above all, Lord, give us grace. Give us a grace that we can experience, that also that can flow forth from us, that we can have for others, Lord. For Lord, it's hard. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go. It hurts so bad. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, now, I'm talking about church, but I'm going to also talk about your relationship. If you're hurt in church, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. If you're hurt in your relationship, in your marriage, in your family, maybe your extended family. I've been in my extended family. I was the outside one in my family, and it hurt. Anybody? Just, you know, pray for your family. Thank you. I see those. I see those. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that went up. Those are hurting hearts, Lord. They matter to you. You created each and every one of those individuals. You formed them, Lord, and you breathed into them the breath of life. Each individual is known by name by you, and they're hurting, Lord. Hurting in relationships, whether it's a church or a family or a work, or their hearts are hurt. I lift them to you, Lord, that you can wrap your arms around those aches and those hurts, those sorrows, and those pains. I ask you to lift their spirit, Lord. Let us see the fight isn't other people, Lord, that the devil is trying to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our lives, Lord. And let them know that you've come to give them a peace and an abundant life. Encourage their heart. Mend their heart. Lift their spirit. I ask that you reveal yourself some way this morning or this week to them, that they can say, God is with them. And they can move on and move beyond because of the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.